This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media's California Politics. Today we're about to speak to Assemblymember Lloyd Levine, who's the co-author of AB 2987. Welcome to California Politics Today.
Thank you, Mark. Good to be back.
Tell us what happened last night on the floor of the California Assembly regarding your bill, AB 2987.
Well, you know, despite the complicated nature of the bill and the somewhat controversial nature of it, it did pass last night overwhelmingly. It was 70-0, last I checked. It might have had a few more votes add on to it.
Yeah, the list I saw, notice I saw said 77 votes.
Yes, I knew there was at least 70, so 77 people voted for it. I think, you know, in large part because they understand that there's a problem that needs fixing and they trust the Speaker on how to fix it. I don't think anybody thinks that this bill is perfect and ready to be signed into law yet, but they certainly realize the hard work that we've put into it so far and the work that we're going to continue to do.
What changes, if any, were made on the floor in the Assembly before the bill passed?
We had amended the bill earlier in the day just to do a couple of small things. We capped the percentage of money that could be used for the public education and government channels at 1% of the franchisee's gross revenue for the service territory. That number may change, but until that point, we had a blank in there, and the Republicans were not comfortable with the blank, so we put 1% in while we continue to figure out exactly how we're going to fund those channels and what the best method for funding those channels is. And in conjunction with that, we made clear that the money which goes to local government for the purpose of that can only be used for the purpose of public education and government channels. It can't be siphoned off to the general fund for other purposes.
Okay, let's talk just a little bit about the public aspect of the campaign to get this passed. The first time I really heard much about it on KPPC, which is a very current news mm-hmm. station, was this morning when they said it passed. I'm wondering whether the bill received as much attention as you think it deserved, and and what impact the television ads, lobbying, and public opinion had on the final shape of the bill.
I think this bill had as much public scrutiny, as much input as and member scrutiny as any in the process. I cannot tell you the numbers of members throughout the course of the last couple of months who have come up to me and asked me questions about it. I've had concerns about it. The amount of hours that I have spent in meetings with various people interested in this, I can't even begin to count them. I don't know how much the public campaign has affected the vote total. It certainly raised people's awareness of the issue because, legislators are like anybody else. We watch TV and we notice when, commercials come on talking about a specific bill or talking about the legislature. Did it affect the outcome? I don't know because there was, a lot of money spent on both sides to lobby, both sides of the issue. Ultimately, I think really what happened last night was the Speaker and I worked very, very hard over the last several months on this bill, and members knew what we were doing. They understood the issue. I can tell you, if this were the final vote, if this bill were up in its form as it was yesterday, there's no way it would have passed.
What would need to be done for that?
There needs to be, based on the questions and input of many other assembly members, there needs to be some serious work done on the anti-discrimination / redlining / build-out requirements in the bill.
Right now, I'm looking at the section that talks about that. It says it's the intent of the legislation that
correct.
The principles for competition in the provision of video services, et cetera, will require widespread build-out of state-of-the-art services so the competition can benefit the greatest number of customers. This seems a little more vague than some of the language in the rest of the bill, which
yes,
is pretty precise.
It is intent language. We are still working very, very hard, between the speaker staff, my staff, and myself, and the speaker, to come up with language that achieves the balance that we want, that allows companies to make the investment, to experiment in the marketplace, to not get locked into a huge investment if it turns out to be a failing one, to put the infrastructure in the ground, while at the same time not allowing them to to pick the best customers off the top, to only serve wealthy areas, et cetera, et cetera.
So you're saying the intent is there to balance those two
yes.
considerations, and what you're doing now is trying to find the language
exactly.
to implement.
We put that intent language in there because the language that had been in there was not satisfactory to the speaker, myself, or to other members. And we didn't have an answer yet. We've knocked off a lot of the issues, but this is one of the stickier ones that remains. and we didn't have any answers. And rather than try and, you know, put an attempt out there that we weren't ready to put out, we simply put forth our intentions and said, you know, look, we recognize there's problems. This is our intention. We're still working to accomplish
that. And what's the process by which you're going to try to derive that language?
Well, there's going to continue to be meetings amongst all the parties, all weigh in. But ultimately, you know, it's the bill is mine and the speaker's, and we will put in the language that we need to put in the bill. You know, but certainly there's going to be subjects of more meetings and, you know, and consultation with Senator Escutia, who's the chair of the Senate Committee on Utilities and Commerce. So I think, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's just going to have to be a long process of finding out exactly how we should do this in the way that makes the most sense for the people of California.
What's the timing now for the bill and its consideration in the Senate?
It has to be to the governor by the end of August. So that basically, today's June 1st, it gives us 3 months to get the bill through the Senate committee, through the Senate floor, back over to our side for concurrence, and then to the governor's desk. You know, I'm confident we can do this. We've got a lot of the major issues already out of the way. There are a few left, the biggest one being the redlining issue.
Okay. This isn't taking place in a vacuum. There are other states that are considering the same question, and so is the United States Congress.
Right.
What can you say about what's going on in Florida and New Jersey, and whether what's happening in California is going to set a trend or establish principles or just fight the fight earlier, and how that's going to affect the discussion in other states? And then I wanted to talk about the federal situation.
Sure. I mean, I think some other states have enacted certain things. We look at them for information where it's applicable. People raise Virginia as an example, but in Virginia, their constitution is different from ours, and it's a constitutional requirement that each entity that wants to provide service seek a franchise at the local level. So that's not something that we have in our constitution. We have a little more freedom here in California. One of the other things that is working against us in California, despite our population, our density is not as high. So building to areas on the East Coast are much easier than it would be to build to areas on the West Coast because of the population density issue. One of the other bills that everybody points to and says, aha, see, look, New Jersey, you know, in New Jersey, Verizon agreed to a build-out requirement. Why won't they agree to it here? But, you know, I look at what Verizon agreed to in their build-out requirement. You know, they have to build out to, you know, any area where there's a number of criteria, but with a population density of over 7,011 people per square mile. The problem is, if you took that in California, Verizon, and that bill only applies to Verizon. What we're trying to do here in California is put a framework in place that all companies can operate under, not just one company. This is not a carve-out for one company. It's a framework for anyone who wants to provide video service. But under the model in New Jersey, San Jose, Fresno, San Diego don't meet the density requirements. I don't believe Sacramento meets the density requirements either. So you'd have, you know, four of California's major cities wouldn't be subject to a build-out requirement because they don't meet the density requirements.
So clearly that provision in the New Jersey law isn't going to be adopted in California.
Not in California.
Now, I spoke yesterday with some staff people on the House and Senate side in Washington, mm-hmm. and apparently, so while you're working to establish a state-issued authorization/cable franchise arrangement mm-hmm. in California, the federal legislature is considering a bill from Congressmember Barton from Texas that would essentially, and let me get your take on this, establish the same principle for a national franchise, and would that complement, obviate, or otherwise affect the situation in California, and what weight are you giving to that in your consideration of this bill?
It depends upon what's in the bill entirely, and we've been given every indication from Congress they don't plan to act on the Barton bill this year. So we don't have any indication when there might be a federal "quote unquote" solution.
You're pretty sure about that? That the Congress isn't going to do anything.
I'm pretty sure there's not going to be any federal legislation on a franchise in the video cable service this year.
Because when I talked to the Senate side, apparently the provisions in the version that Senator Stevens likes, mm-hmm. and he's the chairman of that committee, would retain local franchising rights. Were you aware of that, or did I get that right from the bill?
I'm not aware of the details of the bill. I know my staff is very aware of them. Right now, I'm focused on California until such time as it's necessary. But once I was informed that it's most likely we're not going to be getting a federal bill this year, or perhaps even next, I turned my focus to figuring out what to do for California.
Okay, and if this bill passes by August 31st, is signed by the governor, when will it go into effect?
January 1st, 2007.
And how soon do you think how much of the state will be covered by Verizon and AT&T build-out?
Well, I don't know exactly. You'd have to talk to them. That's more of a technical question. The hope would be that once this bill is signed, and you move through, we streamline the application process for these franchises, it would be much easier to get the franchise and therefore much easier to start the build. But that's a technical question as well as to where their company resources are. They've indicated they want to invest in California. But, we don't know because it's proprietary and they haven't told us that if this bill is passed, here's where we're going to build and here's how we're going to do it.
If anything comes up that makes them decide to move relatively slowly, would you be disappointed?
I certainly would. The reason I'm doing this bill is twofold. First is our laws are antiquated as it relates to competition in this area, and two, I'm doing it because I want to accelerate the deployment of broadband infrastructure in California. And right now, video service, video to the home, is the cash cow that's going to drive that infrastructure. That's what, in this year of infrastructure bonds, that's what's going to cause $4+ billion of private investment in high-speed internet infrastructure in California.
What do you hear from the cable industry and what's your take on how they're likely to react if the bill passes? What kind of strategy might they pursue?
Well, they've been working very, very hard against the bill. They don't like the bill. Couple reasons. First and foremost, right now they have monopolies, and if I had a monopoly, I don't think I'd really want to give it up very easily either. Second, their contention is that the current bill would be unfair to them, that they need to be able to take advantage, as they say, opt into the bill as soon as possible. But the problem with that is the cable companies have negotiated legal franchises, contracts, with local entities throughout the state, close to 450 or 500 cities, counties, and cable commissions negotiated franchise agreements or contracts, if you will, and what the cable companies are asking for is the state to come in and say, okay, we're going to void with one signature of the governor, we're going to void all of these existing contracts.
Now, the cable industry did ask for that and tried to float an amendment that would abrogate all those contracts.
And the Speaker and I have basically said, look, we're not willing to tell every local government in California that that's what we're doing.
Do you think if that happened, if the bill passes in its essentially current form, mm-hmm. that the cable companies might go to litigation to try to give themselves the right to abrogate all those contracts and opt in to under the terms of the bill?
I don't know I don't know they would have the ability to sue. I don't know under what grounds. I mean, I have to take a much closer look to try and figure out how they could possibly make a claim.
Well, presumably that they're being discriminated against vis-a-vis the phone companies that have less onerous requirements.
I don't believe that there would be a meritorious claim there.
Right.
I mean, I'd have to... I don't believe there's grounds for a suit. They would have to try and show. They would have to show me where the grounds for that suit are. And so far, nobody is mentioning anything about that. That's not one of the arguments the cable companies are using.
They'd have to show the courts, actually. Right?
They'd have to show the courts clearly. But for the purposes of this discussion,
right.
I don't get to play lawmaker and judge at the same time.
Right.
Yeah. But what I'm telling you is for me to even accept that as a possibility, they would have to come in to me and say, here's the statute under which we would file the claim, here's the claim, here's the validity, here's the precedent. I can't right now, sitting here, think of what their claim, what their valid claim might be.
So what you're saying is that if it passes, then the telephone companies will operate under it, and the cable companies will be able to operate under it as their franchise agreements with the municipalities expire.
They would have to operate under two circumstances. One, as you said, when their current franchises expire, and two, when they... if they wanted to build outside of their current franchise territory, if they wanted to expand and be an overbuilder or a competitor in another area, they would be subject to the new rules, not the old ones.
Oh, but they could do that as soon as the bill went into effect? If Time Warner wanted to spread to an area now served by Comcast or Charter?
They could do that.
Or to go to... in other words, all the cable companies could become overbuilders anywhere in the state under the terms of this
outside of their
own area.
Franchise, yes, they could.
Have you heard anything to the effect that anyone's going to do that?
No.
Okay.
But there'd be nothing that would stop them.
Okay. Well, last question. Can you make any estimate about, in percentage terms, about what you think this is going to do to cable bills various terms?
There's been... lots of studies as to the effect on that. There was one commissioned by AT&T, of course, from a professor at Berkeley. It's reasonable to assume that they would go down. The question is how much. I think it's hard to say a flat amount because there's such a variety. And I think that's part of the key to this bill. It's like the cell phone industry. When the cell phone industry became more competitive, you saw an innovation in service, an innovation in technology, innovation in phones, and a reduction in the bills, innovation in service plans. I think you will see that. One of the things we're starting to see is a triple play, voice, video, and data from the same company. They'll offer discounts for that. It's possible that, naked broadband will cost one amount. It's possible video service of different packages will cost other amounts. It's hard to say. I do know that competition will force the prices down, but it will also create new services so the old pricing models won't be the same.
Okay, wrap up by talking about the importance of the passage of the bill in terms of your vision for broadband and video service delivery in California.
Well, it's very significant. This is one step closer to a streamlined system of regulations for franchise approval so that companies can enter the market and begin investing in California infrastructure and deploying their infrastructure here in a much more rapid way.
And how important is that going to be for the California economy and the quality of life in California, do you think?
Oh, it'll be huge. It'll be huge. Every single one of us, once those wires are in the ground, every single one of us who uses the Internet will have access to those wires. Even if we're not paying directly to one of those companies, because of the interconnection agreements, the data will go over those. We will all reap the benefits of extra speed. The analogy I give people is, if you live in Los Angeles and somebody builds a new freeway and you don't drive it, but you drive a different freeway, and the freeway that they just built takes a whole bunch of people off of your freeway, you're going to realize the benefits of it. Even if you're not driving, if I drive on the 405 and they build a new freeway that relieves pressure on the 405, and I still have to drive on the 405, but there was a bunch of other people who were doing it, who were driving on the 405, and now drive on the new freeway, we all benefit.
So you're saying this will help make a bigger digital pie.
It'll make a bigger digital pie. It'll make faster pipelines. It'll benefit schools. It'll benefit libraries. It'll benefit hospitals. It'll benefit businesses. It'll benefit, individuals. It'll benefit government. It'll benefit, corporations. Everybody who uses the Internet, which is gradually becoming just about everybody in California, will benefit from this.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your work and for talking to us today on California Politics Today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Talk to you later. Bye.